Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White from Cormdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about taking church membership seriously. Seriously, guys.
Seriously, we are talking about that. Chris, your church doesn't even have membership yet. I can't even be a member of First City
Church. That's right.
Yet. But you're about to roll it out?
Yeah. We're this fall. That is what we are.
Did I just steal the thunder?
No, like, not at all.
We're announcing on the podcast. Everyone, on the podcast, we just announced First City Church is going to have membership.
No, we told people this was coming the end of June, so folks should know. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. We're going to do a five-part series on our core convictions, and then we're going to start rolling through membership interviews and solidifying that. So it's going to be a busy fall.
So let's be honest. This topic, taking church membership seriously, is sort of a plea on behalf of some pastors and church leaders to say, hey, if you're a church member, if you're part of a local church, we want you to take that seriously. So this is sort of stirred up by a number of things. It's stirred up by the fact that we just had a great membership meeting a few weeks ago at Cormdale and brought in 35 or 36 new members. Stirred by the fact that First City's about to engage membership. And stirred by conversations we've had throughout this year of, for various reasons, people leaving churches or being confused about how to resolve questions or conflicts or challenges as church members. And so the title of the podcast is Taking Church Membership Seriously. The takeaway is, please, listener, take church membership seriously. And we thought it'd be fun to bat around why this matters. Why do we care about something called church membership, and why, if I am a committed part of a local church, does that need to be more than just a I'm here until I decide not to be here sort of a thing? Because I think for a lot of Americans, guys, though we talk about church membership and say, look, it's not like being a member at Costco, it's not like being a member at 24-Hour Fitness, this is Jesus's church, there's a significance here. Man, I feel like a lot of people still treat it like being a member at 24-Hour Fitness, which is sort of like, hey, your equipment's getting kind of old and there's a new gym down the street, or, man, someone offended me, and, you know, there's a transience and I think sometimes an informality with which we can take church membership that just leads it not to be a serious commitment before the Lord, but rather sort of a, well, things aren't really working out, or I don't feel good about things right now, or I'm upset about something, and so I'm going to sort of peace out. And we'd really like it to be different than that. I think that's, In the years I've been a pastor, that's sort of been a consistent, if you just ask how does the culture that we live in affect how people see the church, this is one of the most dominant ways, is that people perceive church membership, no matter what you say, as sort of that kind of a thing, a voluntary association of, you know, as long as it works for me, I'm in, and when it doesn't work for me, then I'm out.
So yeah, Chris, I'm curious, from your end, you're getting ready to roll out church membership. Bob, Cormdale Church is 11 years old. We've been through a couple different membership covenants here at Cormdale Church. Why church membership, just even in general? So like, to kind of just get the conversation going here, what's the difference between becoming a church member versus just being around until I'm not?
Well, here's my headspace right now with this. In some ways, these are things that I've, you know, even said on this podcast before, but in some ways there's a little bit different tweak to this. And you'll tell by my comments that I've been reading a lot of James K. Smith lately.
Yes.
He is occupying my brain right now. But
he'll be here next year, by the way. We can tease that out. He's coming to Omaha next May.
There you go.
So we want to invite all of you to come be a part of it.
So I'm thinking a lot about formation and this category of church membership as formation. Rather than church membership as something, what do I get out of church membership? So in the sense of why is church membership important? Well, there is a significant reality to the way God has ordered the church, and the intention of a community is to form you. And how you enter into that is really, in many ways, going to dictate your experience of it. Are you entering into it with this desire to God shape me, form me, through the life of the community in ways that you intend? And so recognizing that in this world, there are forces, there are desires both within you and external trying to shape you and form you in a certain way, and that the church offers a counterformation. So you have to be careful of that language because it can almost sound in some ways consumeristic, like, hey, I want to be formed this way rather than this way, so I need to go into the church. But inherent in that is to be formed in the way God has called you requires dying to self, loving others, serving. Like there's a self-giving piece to where you have to be committed. You have to be all in. So what I want to do and what I'm trying to do at First City as we're entering in the season of solidifying membership is raising the level in the sense of like, hey, this is what God intends to do. He's the primary actor here. A couple Sundays ago, I preached a sermon on the importance of Sunday worship and reframing it like God is the primary actor on Sundays. What does that mean for you coming on Sundays? And so the similar thing, like God is active in his church. His spirit is present in his church in a way that is unique to anywhere else in the world. And so what does that mean for us to be engaged in that? And if you are outside of a local church, if you're not a member, then what are you missing? What ways are you missing on formation? So that's kind of where I'm framing it at this point.
As you say that, the phrase that always comes to my mind when we think about church membership makes me think of my friend Will Walker, who always used to say, you grow out of commitment, not into it. And he said that a lot when he taught about marriage, but also when he talked about church and gospel community. You grow out of commitment, not into it. So you first commit to something, and that has a way of forming and shaping you. And as Americans, we are commitment averse, and you know we want to keep our options open. And so we tend to avoid commitments that we know are going to cost us something. We know that sort of lock us into some group of relationships or some, you know, even an institution or a place like the church. And in reality, commitment is very much the thing that we need in order to form and shape us into the kinds of people who can be faithful over time, who aren't pulled around by the next best thing, who can persist through seasons that are really great and seasons that aren't so great, that can learn to cultivate relationships that go beyond just, oh, this person's interesting to me right now. And so like marriage, church membership is a commitment that I think is deeply formative.
So Chris, you just mentioned before that if you're a Christian and you're not a member of a church, you're missing out on something. You even alluded to you're missing out on a serious form of formation that needs to happen in the Christian believer's life. What is not being formed if they're not committed to a local church through membership?
Yeah, and this is a somewhat gray area, because you can have people functioning as a member in all the ways that members should, and it not be on a piece of paper, or it not be formalized. I think there, you press that so far that you're going to run into some problems. But on the whole, I think a general posture of people that aren't fully committed, there's going to be a degree to which they have not given themselves fully to the community. They're not fully invested, fully committed. So sort of assuming that piece, I think one is as you pointed out, Bob, like the formation of commitment, what that does to you and your posture towards others related to how you love them, serve them. Also vice versa is as far as the space that they can speak into your life. They are discipling you, holding you accountable. And so that interaction between church members, that discipleship element that can only grow and go deep in commitment. And I am committed to you for the long haul, come hell or high water. I'm committed, even if this gets messy, I'm not running. That forms in us something deep and lasting that if I'm not there and the moment it becomes too difficult, I bail. So you're missing that piece. I think you're also missing an important element of even ownership shaping just church-wide. So if I'm fully invested in a church and something come, you know, whether it be from a leadership or some aspect of ministry that I have issues with, rather than, oh, see ya, I'm out of here. It's, no, what does it look like for me to enter into that and actually come alongside leadership, come alongside others and help shape and minister and grow that thing? That's formative too.
So what I hear you guys saying is, I mean, just if you just look at our title of our conversation here today, taking church membership seriously, is saying that there's a lot of people that don't take it seriously. There's a lot of people who aren't committed to their church through thick and thin, for better, for worse, through sickness and health. They just bail when things get tough, and that's the problem here.
Well, and look, Americans are deeply consumeristic, and that, like, we need to own the fact that that shapes how we think about commitment, and that commitment, I mean, if you look at the divorce rate, right, it's pretty obvious that commitment is not something that Americans value. We value, like, yeah, as soon as things get hard, what other options do I have? How can I get out of this? How can I bail on this? And so that certainly plays into our understanding of the church. And there's a, so we don't want to, like, totally discount the reality of consumerism, because in some ways the fact that there are multiple different churches you can go to in a given city is a good thing. We want people to be free to sort of explore and pursue, you know, a church that sort of aligns and feels like it ministers in the ways that I need to grow as a disciple. But I also think, man, that becomes a two-edged sword, because, as you know, I remember reading this was a book on relationships, but it's an interesting parallel to the church. This guy was talking about talking to a buddy at work, and he said that, you know, online dating makes him unable to commit because he's always thinking, well, maybe there's somebody else out there. Like, if I commit to this person, there might be somebody else tomorrow that's, like, better for me. And so that, like, the multiplicity of options actually reduced his ability to commit rather than making it easier. And I think we make the same mistake. We sort of think, well, since there's so many churches, it'll be really easy for me to find one to commit to. But when there's the more churches there are, and the more sort of I'm sort of church shopping or trying to figure out, man, which one's just kind of exactly perfect for where I am and for what I need, it makes it really hard to commit to one, because I sort of feel that peril of, like, well, as soon as I'm in here, what if the church down the street opens up a great new children's ministry? Or what if, you know, what if the staff here changes or the pastor changes, and so something changes, and I, you know, it becomes, it sort of works against just the simplicity of being a part of something.
Yeah, it's interesting. The flip on that, where we assume that choice allows commitment to be easier, when actually commitment, being formed around commitments, is what makes commitment easier. And so, again, kind of channeling Smith here, is if my impulse when things get bad is to jump, that means that I've been formed in a consumeristic way. What does it take for me to get to a point where things get hard? I look at it and go, no, I'm committed. I'm working through this. That requires commitment. Like, you have to be committed. You have to stick to get formed in that way. And so that's really, what does it look like to take church membership seriously? It's allowing yourself to be formed that way, where your gut knee-jerk reaction to conflict is, nope, I'm sticking. I'm helping shape this thing. I'm in it for the long haul.
Man, that is like that's worth the price of the podcast right there.
Which is free.
That's totally free.
The podcast is free.
Like that.
So.
That's like a sermon right there. That was good.
So
no, I like what you're saying there, because I'm formed by my commitment. I can't pull up anchor and just go. And I like what you're saying about that's how I've been created. If I have an impulse to jump ship, then I've been formed that way, and I actually need to confront that. And the only way I'm going to confront that head on is going to be with healthy community and good leadership to see me through that, which is beautiful. I like that.
Got a couple thoughts here. I think there's an interesting gospel connection there, just in the sense that the Father's committed to us fully. Right? He's all in with us and persistent with us through all of our ups and downs and all of our trials and struggles and all of our obedience and disobedience. You know, the gospel teaches us the Lord is committed to us. He is for us. He's given himself for us. And so that should then frame that reality of the gospel should be making us into the kind of people who manifest that same sort of faithfulness, who are able to be persistently committed to messy people and to people who aren't always at their best, in the same way that the Father is committed to us. The question it makes me want to ask is, you know, Dusty, you and I have been doing this together for quite some time, and there are good ways that people leave a church, and there are bad ways that people leave a church. So I'm thinking through this question. Okay, so what if I'm a church member listening to this podcast, and honestly, there's a legitimate reason why I think, man, but are you saying, like, once I'm in for life, or is there ever a legitimate reason where a church member can go, hey, I love this community, but here's a circumstance or a situation that I feel like, you know, requires me to ask the question, do I need to step into a different church community? Do you feel like there's ever a good way to do that? Is that a valid question to ask?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're alluding to asking questions, which is exactly what makes it healthy. I think that's a good conversation, because what we're saying earlier is true too, right? Where there are different churches in the city for different reasons, not so that we can be consumeristic, but because they actually do reach people in different ways for the glory of God. And that's why we plant more churches, right? But there is a good way and a bad way to leave. The best way would be to address those questions, I think, and to be able to say, hey, I'm a church member here. In light of my membership, in light of just not being just some guy off the street, I have questions about this or that and the way we do this or that. And they just open up that dialogue, which creates formation, going back to what Chris said, for both the elders and the leaders and the member, right? So it's not like we're going to push pause on the membership and the leadership to have that conversation because we're doing this dance of like, I don't know if I'm in or out. That's actually a shaping conversation for the whole church. And sometimes we don't see it that way. I think we, as members, tend to see it as, well, I need to bring this or say this so that I can have my voice in there to tweak this or that, instead of it being like, no, this is actually what the church does. This is the community of the Lord.
So let's talk about the way this goes bad. A way of not taking church membership seriously, and you and I have seen this multiple times, Dusty, is I've already decided that I'm leaving this church, and I'm going to sit down with you, Pastor Dusty, and ask your insight on that. But really what I'm asking is I'm asking you to agree with me that I'm leaving, rather than bringing forward, hey, here's a struggle I'm having or a question I'm having or a problem I'm having. I really actually want to hash this out with leaders that I trust. It is different than I've kind of already made up my mind. And so I just sort of want your rubber stamp. I want to do my official duty, which is to come to you and say, I feel like I should leave the church, but I've actually already made up my mind.
Right.
And you've seen this happen.
Yeah, that's
a
really
times.
Hard spot to be in, because then you're, you know, am I leading you right now? Am I not? Do you want me to, what do you want me to say in this moment? You know, which just makes it really hard. And I think the best way to enter into that is to start bringing leaders into that conversation right when you have those questions, because we in our heads get way down the road further than we should. We start entertaining thoughts and coming to conclusions that we shouldn't come to on our own, if indeed we are committed as members and are committed as elders in the local church. And so, yeah, we've done that both ways, where people have said, hey, we're having this conversation. We just want to bring you guys into that conversation. We're like, great, fantastic. Let's have that conversation. Sometimes those people stay, sometimes they leave. But it is one thing to just receive the message or receive the conversation. You're like, well,
I'm handing this to you.
Am I buying lunch or are you buying? I mean, I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, I think it's important to know. It's important for listeners on the other side, you know, who aren't in church leadership, who maybe are either church members or considering, maybe they're not members yet and considering membership. It's important for them to know, as we sit around the table, that as leaders, we've actually blessed people to go to other churches. We're not the people who say our church has everything you could possibly need. And if you ever, you know, ask the question of should you go somewhere else, the answer is no. Actually, sometimes there's a really good reason why we would want to help someone and sort of make a handoff to another local church. Say, hey, we love these folks. Here's the reason why they're not going to be a good fit membership wise at our church. And we want them to be a meaningful part of your church. Mm-hmm. And so that's a conversation we're actually open to and that we do.
Totally.
But it makes it hard. It also makes it hard. I think if I'm applying sort of the gospel principle here, it's just the sort of golden rule, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Man, speaking from a church leader's perspective, hey, treat your church leaders like you'd want to be treated if you were leading a flock of a bunch of people. You know, you wouldn't want to be the person who gets an email and the email basically says, hey, we're breaking up. I didn't want to call or meet with you. I just want to send this letter. You know, you want to get the message that says, hey, I have a question or I have a challenge or I have a conflict with a person or I have a concern and I want to bring it forward and I want to ask help in sorting through it, and I want to make it known. That's a welcome conversation. Yeah. That's a lot more fun than the person who breaks up with you over text messaging.
Yeah, I got a friend who's in business, and he's had a couple of people quit their job through text messaging. And he just says, this is a whole new world, like where
what
somebody can
done?
Actually quit their job through a text. And so obviously then his take is, well, then you probably don't belong in our company. But it is interesting the world we live in, where we can kind of avoid those conversations, but get our agenda across, you know? And again, going back to Chris, what you said, I think is so key. Like, this whole thing is shaping us, and then therefore it's shaping the church. And so how you even have that conversation is key. along the way.
So here's one of the questions that related to this. Different reasons for leaving. One, kind of broadly speaking, could be conflicts with people. So it's just personality conflict. It's something happens and you're wrestling that out. The other kind of comes in the line of like philosophy of ministry. Like, hey, you're doing it this way, don't like it or have an issue with that. So I'm wondering too, up front, as people are considering ministry, what are the conversations that are good to have at the beginning related to philosophy of ministry to see, hey, is there the kind of alignment here that warrants, hey, yeah, you should join us? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe this will be an issue. Because I know you can't gauge all those things, and at times churches grow and develop, and so it's not like that philosophy of ministry stays static at all times. But I think there are, that conversation to me, I'm even processing, thinking, going through membership interviews, is one that I really want to have. I'm kind of put all the cards on the table. Like, look, here's our philosophy of ministry. Do you have issues with that? And we can agree to disagree, but if you have any issues, maybe that means we should rethink this. So I don't know how you guys have experienced that going into membership interviews.
Before I answer that question, one thought that I just thought of as you were talking is I thought of a great example of a good reason to leave a church that we've encountered before, which is guy and a girl are dating and then they break up, but they have the same circle of friends and it's just hard for them to be in the same church community.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great reason why you might come to the elders and say, hey, look, I love this church, but because of, you know, the pain of like this breakup, right, and where the relationship is and just the friends that I keep seeing, you know, can we talk about what that would look like to go somewhere else? That's just an example of the kinds of things that actually happen in real life where you're like, hey, we love that person. We don't want to send them to another church, but mm-hmm. we do want to shepherd them in that situation. And right. there's good reason why that makes sense. Sorry, now back to your question, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's good. That's why we would have a membership interview on the front end, right? And so you can say, hey, here's what we're committing to. Here's what you'd be committing to. And then every church has a different emphasis. And so, like, for example, we would say, as a church member, you're committing to being in a gospel community versus, you know, being in community with other Christians being a good idea, right? So, like, yeah, if I'm coming in as a member, I'd be like, I see what you guys are doing there, but I don't really see that biblically, and, you know, I could give or take it. Well, then that's going to always be kind of a tension point, right? And so at Coram Deo, we rarely, I can count on two hands how many members aren't in gospel communities. And it's usually because of like moving or situations or job loss or some crazy thing that's happened where a member wouldn't be in a gospel community. But that'd be one example of like, okay, well, let's have that conversation and let's have it with the Bible in front of us and draw that conversation out.
Well, and I think that the philosophy ministry question, I would just phrase it this way, Chris. The goal is to become a disciple of Jesus and to make disciples. Mm. Whatever local church you're a part of, that should be the agenda of why you're joining. Is I want to be a disciple and I want to help make disciples. And so really the question of philosophy ministry is just, here's how we do that here at this church. You know, we do it through gospel communities at Coram Deo. We do it through particular ways of worship. And, you know, there's particular formative things like liturgy that we care about. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to ask a member, do you have problems with those things? Like, here's how we're going to try to make you a disciple. We want you there on Sundays. We want you in a gospel community. These are the ways, the structures that we use to facilitate discipleship. They're not the only ways. They're not the only biblical ways. You could go to a church down the street that does things totally different and still become a disciple of Jesus. So all we want to know is, are you willing not to like be the person who says you want to become a disciple, but you just don't want to do it in the ways that we do it? Because that's really annoying to have somebody like, oh yeah, I love discipleship, but I can't be in a gospel community. That's a terrible idea. You know, they're like, well, then this isn't a church for you. Go become a disciple of Jesus. We love you, but you know, this is how we do it. This is the way that we're committed to actually making that happen.
Yeah. And I think for those listening to this, if you're already committed to a local church, then you know, my encouragement is jump in all in. But if you're wrestling with that or there's issues with that, I think Bob nailed it. Like, be honest about it. Like, hey, I really love the people here, but the philosophy of ministry is annoying. Well, then either be willing to flex or go find another church. In some sense, where I think it really is on folks to take that seriously and recognize, hey, don't be that guy 6 months from now. And ask those hard questions up front. And it might mean that you walk away from a lot of really healthy things in other ways to go and find a church where you're going to best be be a disciple and make disciples.
Yeah, and we want to help with that transition, right? So like, Bob, what you're saying earlier, this might not be the best church for you. We are in community with other pastors, want to figure that out along the way so that you can grow as a disciple.
And I would say this, I think the biggest factor here, the way that people's thinking needs to flip is, I think we use the phrase consumerism, but I think we could also talk in terms of individualism. I think that people imagine, I need to become a disciple of Jesus, and I'm the one who should gauge what the best things to make that happen are. So you sort of treat churches and ministries like a smorgasbord. Like, okay, I know I need a disciple, so I need to study the Bible, and I need prayer, and I need community, and I need outreach. And so, man, here's all the options that are available to me. I want this and this and this and this, and those things are going to make me into a disciple. And the faulty way of thinking there is the reality that you know best what it's going to mean for you to become a disciple. Mm-hmm. And actually, if we believe the Bible and we believe what it says about the deceitfulness of sin, we actually believe that only in community can I see myself clearly enough to know the ways that I might need to become a disciple. I don't even know. And so being a committed part of a local church through thick and thin is a way of surrendering my vision that I know best about everything to an understanding that actually community, you know, God's people are the best context in which for me to see myself and even see the things about myself that I'm blind to or that I don't see clearly. I need others for that. Mm-hmm. I can't just be the person who has a crystal clear vision of exactly what it means for me to become a disciple, so now I can go choose the pieces that fit that agenda.
You know, it's interesting to just sit back and reflect on the beginnings of Cormdale Church and the beginnings of First City Church and how you have, Chris, some of the very same people at First City that started this church 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that only... And, you know, so you could look at that and go, well, they must have just been real passive and just, you know, went with somebody else's agenda and just kind of like let that church happen. But that's not true. Those people are committed thick and thin, even through trial, conflict, tension, et cetera, and worked it out along the way. So that's a mature Christian. I mean, just church membership also comes down to just maturing as a disciple along the way.
All right, so guys, let's close it out with just what are some practical ways of taking church membership seriously? If what we're trying to put on the radar here is, hey, we should take church membership seriously, how's that going to play out? We've said, you know, the reality of commitment, the reality of working through conflict. We've mentioned some of these things intuitively, but what are two or three maybe clear, practical, here's how that looks in practice?
Yeah, one quick thing that comes to mind right away is I often have the conversation with people who have just been hurt by church, burned by church, have a certain flavor of church that they've been to, and they're like, "That I'm not sure if I can get into commitment because I've seen shady leadership, I've seen commitment go wrong." So you have that working. You have bad church experience also working against a non-committal American society that we have. So you got to address that individually and also in community.
Yeah, one practical way I think is, what's a ministry that you can get involved with? So serving in the church, very practical, and commit to that. And commit to that in a way of showing up, working unto the Lord, but also in a way where it says, hey, I want to be part of seeing this thing grow and thrive. And so having that posture of, hey, I'm not just here filling, you know, keeping a seat warm, but I'm engaged and invested in the development of these ministries.
Yeah, this might be similar to what you guys have already said, but just jump headfirst into whatever the church is doing and just volunteer your guts out. Just make yourself available to be used and to serve others and to give of yourself. And if you got to pull back, you know, because you have limits, fine. But like, just give yourself to the mission of your local church and champion the gospel.
So if you're a listener, I want to invite you, if you're a church member, man, live into that commitment. And if you're listening and you're not yet a member, a committed member of a local church, would you see this as an invitation to pursue that, take the next step toward that process at your particular local church? Jesus doesn't want you to sit on the sidelines, doesn't want you to be individualistic or consumeristic, but wants to shape you through the commitment and involvement in a particular messy local church full of sinful people who are going to be complex in their own ways.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation by shooting us an email.
Wait, we have an email?
Yeah. Fresh off the press. podcast@cdomaha.com. We'll get in touch with you if you get in touch with us, and we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.